grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. Due to some technical issues, I'm going to stay put and not wander around much today because I think we're down. Jeannie says that we're in good, down to one camera, apparently. So for our online brothers and sisters and siblings, sorry, you have a single view. Here in this last week, before that blessed event of Christmas, we receive this Gospel of Matthew that is a little bit different than some of the other Gospels. We're so accustomed to Luke's narrative, where Mary is at the center of what's happening. The visitations, the pregnancy, the speaking with her wonderful cousin, and all of those kinds of things, that's all part of the Luke narrative. But Matthew gets right down to business. In the very first chapter, remember, it begins, if you remember the beginning of Matthew, it starts out, this is the Genesis. It is the story, the beginning of the story about Jesus. And then he goes into, being Matthew, he accounts all the relatives to remind you why Jesus is important. By the time we get to the 18th verse, Jesus says, now the birth of the Messiah took place in this way. And who do we hear about? Joseph. It's an interesting switch. We hear about Joseph. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to divorce her quietly. And Joseph, the angel appears to Joseph, the son of David, and says exactly what angels always say. Joseph, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. She is going to bring into the world a son. And you are to name him Jesus. For he will save the people from their sins. It's a really important moment. And it's an important moment because for that moment, I sort of see Joseph standing there thinking to himself, what should I do? I am an honorable person, and I want to treat this person to whom I am engaged honorably. And the right thing to do, the thing I am being called to do by the social norms, would be to put her away for her dignity and for my own. And he doesn't. It's one of those seminal moments in Scripture where people stand on the precipice of one decision or another that makes all the difference in the world. And Joseph makes the decision he's called to make. This story, which is so familiar and so normalized within our sort of lectionary life and in our popular culture, is one that is too easily overlooked in our rush to the cradle. All kinds of things happen during Advent, during this time before Jesus actually shows up. And it's really hard to pay attention to all of the things that are happening in preparation for Jesus to come. We need to be reminded by Joseph, first of all, not to be afraid. It is easy to stop listening to God. It is easy to get caught up in the daily life that is so kind of poured out on top of us time and time and time again and forget to look for the angelic beings who are all around us, our friends and our children and our grandchildren, and the people in need. It is easy to forget that we are being called sometimes to do difficult and hard things, to make decisions that are not really, we think, the ones that are best for us. But in that moment, Joseph chooses to follow the will of God. And it makes all the difference. I've often thought, you know, often in Advent we use the prayer bid, "Stir us up, O Lord." In a way, I think Joseph stirs the pot a bit. Not only for his family, but also for us. For Jesus, this one who saves, also is Emmanuel, God with us. So as we look into these last few days, before the time when we get distracted by shepherds and sheep and guys playing flutes and beautiful music and, you know, did my Amazon package get stolen? I actually fretted about this week. I sent something that I made to my grandson, and we sent it Federal Express. $99 to send something from Hawaii. And then I just was like stuck to the phone. Is it going to show up? Is it going to show up? And finally, they said they would deliver it, and it didn't get delivered. And then I panicked. And I thought, I wonder if this is what Joseph felt like. We did get delivered, by the way. It was fine. But before all of that comes, before we're kind of caught up in all of the craziness of Christmas, I want you to spend a little time wondering what it looks like for Jesus living out his name for you today. God with us. What does it feel like to have not only that promise, but that unconditional reality? It's easy to forget in our rush to the season that what this will all in the end be about is God's choosing on a precipice to go one way or another, to go or to stay. And remarkably, God chooses to stay with you. And it's quite amazing. It's quite amazing that God makes that choice not because you are good or perfect or because you've done everything right or that you have the right religious principles or that you followed the liturgy exactly right. If we were dependent on that, we'd be deep in trouble. But God chooses to remain with us out of love. A love so deep that a child is born into our midst, dies on a cross, and then remains there with us forever. It's a remarkable story that begins with a decision, with an obedience, and with the confidence that Joseph says yes to Mary and to God and to us. So in the end, Jesus, with his multiple names, it all makes sense. Look, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means, and God means, God with us. May we ever live in the joy that God has fulfilled God's own name, that the wind of the Spirit blows through us even in these days when we are not so sure, not so confident. God remains with us. Amen. invite you to rise as you're able for the hymn of the day. It's number 10 found in the back of your booklet.